This is All Things ANSYS, a podcast from the technical support staff at PADT. Episode 80. We are joined by PADT's tech support staff to take a look back at 2020 in the world of ANSYS, and then take a look forward to 2021 and beyond. Welcome to what is a gray day here in Phoenix, Arizona. My name is Eric Miller, one of the owners at PADT, and I'm recording this on January 23rd, 2021, for release on Monday, January 25th. The month sure has gone by fast. We're already almost done with the first month of 2021. You've probably read in the news that COVID-19 cases are high here in Arizona, and we have certainly seen that at PADT as well, with employees and family members getting sick. Unfortunately, really sad, some fatalities for family members. It's a very sad and distressing time. Our thoughts and empathy go out to everyone dealing with this pandemic around the world. Sometimes it seems so distant, and sometimes it slams right into your daily lives. The past week was actually our annual sales kickoff for ANSYS, where the global sales team usually, both direct and channel, gather together in one place. For the last couple of years, we've been meeting in Orlando, Florida, for a few days of education and team building and bonding. This year, it was virtual, no surprise, and we had a chance to hear stories during the virtual event from many members of the ANSYS family about how COVID-19 has impacted all of them, from the CEO to support staff in countries on the other side of the globe. Overwhelming, the resilience and determination came through of everybody involved, with many great stories about how people pitched in locally to help out. Maybe it was making PPEs or supporting health workers or doing food delivery for older folks. It was really nice to see. And the most common story was how people were helped by their coworkers at ANSYS or in the channel. Everyone's doing their part as much as they can. We're not done with this pandemic, but there is light at the end of the tunnel with the vaccine coming out. So that's really good news. Speaking of the meeting, on the technical side of things, unfortunately, I can't share much of what we learned, but it was really good, really, really good. The development staff continues to impress us with their ability to translate customer needs into usable tools, really an emphasis on solutions that really truly help, and you'll see it when we go over 2021 and you look at what's in 2021 R1. They also have been doing a fantastic job, and this has been going on for years, but as they keep integrating larger, acquiring larger companies, it still is a marvel how well they integrate the new members of the ANSYS family into all aspects of the one ANSYS, whether it's sales or support or marketing, and the one that, you know, we care about the most, development. And they do it at a steady and successful pace. Good stuff is coming to make pervasive even more, well, pervasive. So that was really good news from the conference. And I do miss talking to people face-to-face and getting to meet new people, which really is hard to do in a virtual environment. So here's looking forward to 2022 for that. In this episode, let's get on to our interview. We'll be doing something we've been doing since really the podcast started, which is taking a look back at the year in review and then make some predictions about the future. We were fortunate enough to get about half of our tech support team on the call, and I'll let them introduce themselves. It's a long list, but let's see what everyone thinks about what happened and what might happen in the future. I want to welcome everybody to something we haven't done in a while, which is a roundtable discussion about what happened in 2020 in the world of ANSYS, and in 2021, what we think will happen or beyond. And we've got engineers from PADT's technical and consulting staffs to talk about it. And we'll just, before we talk about the years, let's do an introduction by, well, I'll go by first name. So, Alexander.
Hi, yeah, this is Alexander. So I'm an application engineer in PDT, and I'm responsible for electronics business unit.
Mm-hmm. And how about you, Daniel?
I'm also an application and support engineer at PDT, and I support the fluids business unit, the CFD.
And why don't you share where you're located? Because I think a lot of people don't realize how spread out we are.
Sure. I'm in Austin, Texas.
Okay. And Alexander, you're in Denver, correct?
That is correct. Yes.
Yep. I remember. Good. How about you, Jim?
This is Jim Peters. I'm senior staff technologist on the consulting side, and I'm here in the Tempe office.
And recently you've been spending most of your time in LS Diana. Is that a valid statement?
That is a valid statement, indeed.
Doing fun stuff.
Yeah. Indeed.
Okay, Josh Stout.
Hi, yeah, so I'm Josh Stout. I'm a mechanical application engineer. I mostly work with the support team. A little bit of everything feels like mechanical, thermal, fluids, electronic applications. So
we make Josh do a lot of things. And Kang, I think you're the newest on our team. Kang Lee, why don't you introduce yourself? And since you're new to PADT, a little bit of background on your career, I guess.
Sure. So my name is Kang, and I'm an application engineer supporting for low frequency applications. So I just joined PADT in December. So previously I was working for Aurora Flight Sciences, electric aircraft company, and then for Shark Ninja, a consumer goods company. My background was in electromagnetics, so I had a lot of experience designing electromagnetics, rotational devices, electric motors. Now I'm currently located at Massachusetts, Boston area. I will relocate to Tempe next month.
Great. Well, so glad to have you on board for a lot of reasons. One of them being having an expert in low frequency has been it's fantastic. We really appreciate it. We've all been trying to carry that water for a while, and it's good to have somebody that's that specializes in it on board. Miles.
Hey, Miles Adkins here. Also an application engineer with a background in fluids and heat transfer. I currently spend most of my time focusing on system modeling and CFD, particularly with a 1D tool called Flownex.
Cool. And Robert.
Hi, I'm Rob MacArthur, and yet another mechanical AE. I'm out of Houston, Texas, and working mostly on mechanical discovery and as well as Granta, ANSYS Granta.
Very cool. Sina.
Hi, everyone. This is Sina. I'm a senior CFD application engineer here in Arizona, Phoenix area. And background is in multiphase and combustion fluid dynamics, obviously.
Very cool. Ted.
This is Ted Harris. I manage our simulation support group here at PADT, longtime PADT employee and even longer use of ANSYS products. Background is structural thermal primarily.
And Tom, you're our last. T is last on this list.
Okay, this is Tom Chadwick. My background is primarily in the areas of fluid and thermal heat transfer and fluid systems, and I'm part of the fluids technical support group here in Phoenix.
Well, really appreciate having you all on board, and I hopefully it helps our listeners understand the breadth and depth of experience and physical location that we've got and our staff. So let's dig right into it, and I'll just an open question of whoever wants to go first. What was your favorite ANSYS and Miles for Flownex? We'd love to hear about what you thought was great going on in the world of Flownex in 2020.
I can jump in and go ahead. Say my piece since you brought up Flownex.
Yeah, so why don't we start there?
I'm super excited with the growth we've seen in 2020 with Flownex, which is an ANSYS partner software. Mm-hmm. It's a 1D flow network modeling tool, which does have the capability to couple with ANSYS. We've seen uptick across the board in various industries, but one specific improvement to the code this last year that has got me the most excited is the addition of a nuclear reactor network generator, which allows for an additional layer of system level fidelity when looking at flow paths, temperatures, pressures, et cetera, within the reactor itself. So that's what's got me excited.
Very, very cool. And yeah, we're seeing a lot of some people may be scratching their head and going, who's doing reactors? Well, the existing ones need to be monitored and updated, and they're constantly extending the life on them. Plus, we're seeing a lot of activity in the small modular nuclear reactor business that I'm really excited about. Who else has something to share?
I can go next.
Yeah.
Talking about the ANSYS CFD tools and Fluent specifically, if you want to choose one favorite feature or improvement last year, I'd say expressions in Fluent. And many users have the feedback that they're really happy with this feature. So it's part of the overall improving the user experience inside Fluent or ANSYS CFD tools. But this specific one is something that we've been asked for a long time. So it replaces basically the UDF and compiling the UDFs and everything in a very easy and a modern and user-friendly way to put basically different equations or expressions as boundary conditions or other material properties. One of the main features would be the material properties. You can have expressions like as a function of temperature or pressure, you can have different material properties. So it's been something that we've been asked for a long time, and it was achievable, but in not an easy way. Now it's really easy to set these things up. So that would be one of my main favorite features past year inside Fluent.
And all the old CFX users are going, finally, because that was one of the big advantages of CFX.
Before, very true. That's right. Yeah. It's cool. Overdue for a long time.
Yeah. Who else?
Oh, I can go real quick. I think one of the big elephants in the room is the total revamp to the Discovery products that happened last year. So for those that don't know, we combined Discovery Live and Discovery AIM into just one box now. It is just called Discovery. So the marketing team really likes the word Discovery. We're going with that. Mm-hmm. And so from there, it's still the same functionality for the most part. It's kind of the regular GPU-based solvers, and it's got the standard ANSYS flagship solvers for mechanical Fluent. They're going to be adding in a lot of their features that were within AIM back into this new Discovery product, and that's going to be their big push for 2021.
Very exciting. There's so much going on with Discovery. We'll talk about that when we get to the future stuff. I'm very excited about that. Who else?
Well, this is Ted. One thing that may not be obvious to a lot of users is that licensing saw a revamp in 2020,
and yes,
packaging for licensing as well. And it's a little bit related to the Discovery products that Rob just mentioned. But for quite a while, for quite a few years now, on the mechanical side, we've had three levels of licensing: Pro, Premium, and Enterprise, and that has now been duplicated for electronics and fluids. And so now there are those three levels. And so increasing capability with increasing price from Pro to Premium to Enterprise. And the Discovery tool, when you're using the flagship solver, meaning the non-GPU based solver, is going to use one of those new levels of license to check out that capability.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and was it this year that we got rid of the two daemons running in the background for the licensing? And with the standard flex, or was that the year before?
That's a good question.
Ahmed's not on the call, so. Okay. Yeah, that was always a pain in the butt, and at some point they got rid of that, so that's and went to a more standard licensing tool. Very cool. Anybody else have anything before I start calling on folks?
Yeah, I can hop in.
This is
go ahead, Josh. You went first.
All right. I mean, there have been a lot of improvements in general for electronics and stuff I spec this year. And I was actually just looking back through the list, and I had forgotten just how many there were. Mm-hmm. But a couple that are pretty important are being able to run transient solutions at all in EDT I spec. And then there's also the mechanical thermal, which I guess last year was the first year it had started the integration. That's pretty exciting for both past and future capability.
Yeah, it's sometimes a little overwhelming how much they're so busy out there. Tom, what did you want to add in?
I was just going to say that there's not any really, for me, there's not any really one thing that jumps out with Fluent and CFX, but there's just a lot of incremental improvements that they've made with, you know, increasing the capability of the turbulence models and simplifying the interface so that it's easier to work with, you know, improvements to the Fluent meshing process where making it so that you've got more capability in the Fluent mesher in terms of periodic boundaries and setting up your meshing controls and things like that. So it's not really anything, you know, earth shattering, but it's just gradual improvement in the tools to make them easier to use and more capable and more stable, more robust. So it's just good to see, you know, not generation, just continual improvement in the tools, nothing earth shattering, but just continuous improvement.
And you stole my favorite thing of the year. That's exactly it. It's just kind of the overwhelming across the product line steady improvement, and just more and more stuff that makes life better or allows us to do more simulate more things. Yeah, 100% agree. Anybody else have anything to share?
Yeah, that's a good. Yeah, this is Jim. This is a good segue into the. It's not necessarily a new feature, but again, using some of the newer capabilities added to that meshing algorithm, the Cartesian mesher, and really understanding the optimal setting to get some really nice block meshes. I mean, normally it's a feature you think that, well, I only need it or could use it if it had something really blocky. But the combination of inflation layers and that algorithm together have really shown some great quality hex-based meshes. So that was a good discovery this year.
Yeah, hex meshing in general has made some great improvements after kind of languishing for quite a while, seeing a lot of improvements there. True.
Sure, I'll go. This is Daniel. One thing that stood out, obviously, was what along the lines of what Sina was expression language, because I am an old CFX user. But since he took that one, my next one is actually related to cloud. Hence, this cloud, the ability to kind of run this very large jobs, you know, wherever you are, you know, especially in 2020 working remote. So the ability to submit jobs in batch, but also using the VDI to get that very fast graphical response, I think was also super impressive. I think that was rolled out this year too.
Yeah, I think really cloud computing, for everybody kind of became practical with Ansys in 2020. I'll add, I think an enabling part of that, another one of my favorite things was kind of tweaking and getting Elastic licensing, I think, right? So that it became a really powerful way for people to get access to a lot of different products in a flexible way, right? An elastic way, as the name implies, so that they can do things when they just need a few seats or a few extra cycles. And it seems like it's relatively easy to use now and flexible and all the things we hoped it would be. So that's another one of mine. Anybody else have any other ones before we move on?
Well, this is Ted. I can circle back on the licensing. So I did a little research while the other guys were talking. So the Ansys licensing interconnect is still out there, still used up through version 2020 R2. Okay. However, going forward, it's being replaced.
So I got ahead of myself there. Okay. Yeah,
you were jumping the gun. I wasn't sure, so I verified.
I am glad you checked. Appreciate that. Good. Kang, I know you're new to the team. Do you have anything you want to add?
So it seems that on the low frequency side, I mainly focus on the Maxwell. So for 2020, I think Ansys brought new, like, more features for the Maxwell to consider more thermal behaviors. So added more thermal features for either the calculation or the material properties. So this will be able to simulate more complex problems, and also give customers, users more accurate results.
Yeah, that's really, really useful stuff. And, you know, we're seeing people push the limits on electric motors and similar rotating machinery. It's getting hot. It's getting hot. So that's really good that they're doing that. Yeah. Good. Okay. Well, I think we kind of covered a lot of stuff. I jumped the gun a little bit. My favorite thing is the fact that we got rid of the interconnect on the licensing in 2021. What about you guys? What are you looking forward to that we can talk about this coming down the pipe, or that you'd like to see? Robert.
Yeah, just now the button there. No, so what I'm looking forward to on the mechanical end, that is something they brought in last year a little bit, was the functionality for weld modeling with shells. Mm-hmm. And that is being expanded this year. And I know they had a little bit of some co-checking with it as well. But we've had, you know, one or two customers make use of that already. And it was kind of stealth updated in the summer, but now it's getting more of an official push out. Really looking forward to that on the structural side.
Yeah, that'll be nice.
Yeah. And just on the discovery side, just incorporating, you know, the rest of the stuff that was in AIM, and as well as, when they were working through on AIM last year, they were already incorporating more meshing features. And as well as, you know, people don't know, it's not just, solids within Discovery AIM. It was solids and, you know, shells and beams. So I'm looking forward to that making its way into Discovery as well. Hopefully in the near future, if not next year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, me too. And I'll go on that as well. Was just talking with Brent from the additive group side of things, and they're moving all the additive suite products into the Discovery user interface. So they'll be available for Ansys users, but Ansys Workbench users, but all of those tools from, you know, the early pre-processing through Ansys additive science, which, you know, looks at microstructure and stuff, is going to be in the Discovery interface. So I think that's really, really great. Since many people doing additive manufacturing aren't necessarily Ansys users, it'll give them much better access to the tool set. So expect to see that maybe done by the end of 2021. So we hope to see that. Josh, what do you have for futures?
Yeah, so I mean, again, related to the ISPAC stuff I was talking about, but next year is going to see lots of improvements on the reduced order modeling side of things. Mm-hmm. So both natively within ISPAC, as far as organizing and generating data to use for those ROMs, as well as how that connects into TwinBuilder for, you know, more advanced things like flow varying ROMs and dynamic ROMs and all of that. So I'm really looking forward to that aspect of it. Should be fun to play with and hopefully very useful as well.
Yeah, enabling a lot more of these digital twins and things like that. Yeah. Getting more sophisticated. Yeah. It's good progress in that area over time. Anybody else have anything? Jim.
Yeah, I think in general on the LS Dyna side, post-acquisition now, there's so much technology under the hood that previously wasn't really exposed very well, especially not an incentive for Ansys to expose that in the prior to the acquisition. But now that that's complete, there's just a tremendous amount of new solver and physics capability under that hood that is really going to advance, I think, the usage of LS Dyna in the future. Mm-hmm.
And I'll second that. I just don't know which ones are going to be exposed. But in the discussions I've had with the product manager, it's pretty exciting where LS Dyna is headed. We're going to be talking a lot more about LS Dyna in the coming years, I think. Yeah. Ted.
Well, along those same lines, we just realized recently that there is now a free student version of LS Dyna.
Oh.
So for all the students out there, you now have the ability to go to the student portal and download a free version of LS Dyna. Now, of course, there's restrictions on its use and its limited problem size, but still, what a great way to get familiar with the capability in LS-DYNA now that it's been acquired by Ansys Inc.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So one thing for 2021 is, besides all the technical improvements, you know, probably the most important technical one is getting more turbo machinery capabilities migrated into the Fluent from CFX. But going back to the user experience, if you think of it as first they improve the pre-processing and meshing with all those Fluent meshing workflows, and then as I said, they're like expressions. If you consider that as you know solver setup, they've extended that user experience. They're going to users are going to see that in the new release that the post processing is going to get some user experience improvement, and I'm going to extend it all the way to post processing and report generation specifically. It's going to be a way more easier and user friendly to obviously generate reports for your management and other purposes if you want to present your work. But it's kind of A to Z user experience improvement.
Great. Been putting a lot of work into that over the years, no question. Yeah. And, you know, it used to be kind of Fluent does everything you want, but yeah, it's kind of hard to use. And that's not true anymore, right? It's really...
Yeah. And we all know that, you know, you have the results and then you use other tools to, you know, mm-hmm. to summarize and to mm-hmm. present it. So that's the whole idea to just stay inside the Ansys from
start to finish.
Yep.
Yeah. Good improvements. Miles.
I don't have any specific improvements that I want to talk about, but looking forward to 2021, I will say that I'm very excited to see you know new applications modeled in like the 1D tools like FlowNex mm-hmm. and just to see how our customers and colleagues are utilizing these type of tools.
It's one of the best parts of the job, isn't it? Is seeing how people take these tools that we spend all day with and they do stuff. You're like, wow, I never thought of that. That's pretty cool. So, and FlowNex is a great example of that because it's such a capable tool. There's so much under the hood there. Yeah. Cool. Daniel.
The 2021 R1 release will have the kind of CFP built into Fluent. So that'll allow kind of, you know, users who don't need the full capabilities of Fluent to still use the interface and still use some of the, you know, the meshing tools and things like that, and may not need all the high-end physics capabilities. So it's kind of like this interesting sector between discovery and the full Fluent package. So I'm looking forward to see how that works with our user base.
Yeah, and maybe gigantic external flow models that use that solver as well. That'll be interesting to see if that works. Yeah. Big GPU. Need a big GPU. Cool. Anybody else have anything else before we wrap it up? All right. Well, you know, I think we didn't really talk about acquisitions. In the past, I've always said the one I want to see happen, but I don't think it'll ever happen, was LS-DYNA, and it did. So, you know, I'll throw out there that I'd really like to see Ansys acquire. What the heck is it called? MATLAB, right? MATLAB Simulink, right? I would love to see that join the Ansys family. And it used to be that MATLAB, I forget the name of the company that owns them, but it's quite a bit larger than Ansys. So there was no way that would ever happen. But I think Ansys is now bigger. So you never know. A merger may happen. So I'm gonna throw it there. Anybody have any acquisitions they'd like to see?
I think you know which one I would like to see.
Yeah, that's an obvious one. Yeah. Anybody else? Okay. We'll see what happens in the coming year. They certainly have plenty of cash, so hopefully there'll be somebody new. We're still struggling to get our head around the ones they've already made. So maybe it'd be nice to have not a big one happen in 2021 so that we can catch up on the ones that were made in 2019 and 2020. Well, everybody, I really appreciate your time. It's a fun to talk about the what's going on in the ANSYS world and get your guys' input. And I hoping all of you and all of our listeners a fantastic 2021 in front of us, and hope to talk to each of you in smaller groups throughout the coming year. So thanks a lot, guys, and appreciate your time.
Thanks, Eric. Thank you.
I do enjoy getting everyone around, in this case, a virtual table for a chat. If we push the pandemic aside, it's been a good year in the world of ANSYS, and the future looks even better. And I hope you saw that and got something out of it as well. And I hope that for you, at least on the side of simulation, it was a good year. And you also see how things are getting even better for those of us who make our living pushing nodes and elements. And now it's time for our commercial. One thing we really don't talk too much about on this podcast is simulation data management. Not because we don't think it's important, but because dealing with simulation data varies so much from customer to customer and often from physics to physics within a given company. Everyone wants to manage their data better, but are often not aware of how to do it. For many, ANSYS Minerva is the right solution. For others, maybe all they need is to control their materials. So ANSYS Granta can solve that problem for them. They can manage their material data that way. Or perhaps they have a company-wide PLM system, and they just need to find a way to integrate their simulation into that PLM system. For most simulation engineers, we're used to thinking of nodes and elements, loads and results. Data management is about databases and workflows, metadata, and file pointers. The good news is that PDT speaks IT, PLM, and of course, simulation. We can help you define your needs and then work as a bridge between you and your IT and PLM resources, making sure you get a process and or a tool that works. It may be just documenting naming and file structure conventions, or it could be a full Minerva implementation that connects to your enterprise PLM. We get it. We can help. Shoot an email to info@padtinc.com or support@padtinc.com, and one of our engineers will get back with you. You don't have to be an ANSYS customer. You don't have to be in the U.S. We can offer this help pretty much anywhere to anyone. So do reach out. We do like this topic. So let's take a look at the news, and we always start with the ANSYS stock. And well, it's doing well. The general market has been flat to good in January, and ANSYS shares did hit an all-time high again of $380 per share on January 20th. And they closed Friday, January 22nd, at $374.57 a share. By the way, that puts ANSYS's market cap, we haven't talked about this in a while, but their market cap is now at $32 billion. And their price-to-earning ratio, which is that market cap divided by their profit, is 84.91, so let's say 85. In comparison, PTC, their market cap is, 15.3 billion dollars. That's versus ANSYS at 32. So a lot of people think a PDC is larger, but from a market capitalization standpoint, actually ANSYS is more than twice the size of PTC. Something else that's interesting is the PTC PE ratio is 116. So their stock is worth, their market cap is worth 116 times their revenue, their profit. Whereas ANSYS is only 85 times their profit. So more chance for growth there. Altair's market cap is, of course, quite a bit smaller. It's 4.4 versus 32 billion. And there's no PE ratio because they lost money the last two quarters, so they don't do a PE on a negative value. So we'll see what happens if they pull it out at the end of the year in Q4, which often happens with them. And we'll see what their PE ratio is. And then last but not least is Autodesk. Of course, they do a lot more than ANSYS. Their market cap is $66 billion, so that's basically twice the size of ANSYS's market cap. And their price-to-earning ratio is even bigger than PTC's. It's 155 to 1. So, quite a bit more than their profit. So just a little bit interesting. I don't know what that means. I think one thing it implies is that the stock market likes to follow PTC a little bit, or PTC and Autodesk a little bit more because they did so well back in the past. And ANSYS is, I think, a market they don't quite get yet. So it'll be interesting to see what happens as more and more people look at the history of how well the product is done, how much users like it, and how they keep buying more of it. So we'll have to see how that improves over time and where the stock price goes from there. In Ansys news, one thing that I can talk about that was covered in the Ansys sales kickoff is the introduction of a product, because they did a press release on it, a product called HFSS Mesh Fusion. And that comes out in 2021 R1. And it basically lets you have different mesh densities in different parts of your model in HFSS. So you can have refinement or coarseness where you need it. What this really allows you to do is take an electronic device that's maybe got an antenna on it, is you can model down to the IC level and, you know, see what goes on at the board level and the enclosure and then the antenna and how things go out to the rest of the world. And you don't have to deal in a single model without dealing with transitioning your mesh from one region to another. And that's huge. It's a big deal. And I think we're going to see more people doing system level high-frequency electromagnetic simulation rather than doing discrete components as part of this. So look for that in the coming release. And if you're in that area, definitely check it out. Or if you work with people that do, let them know. There's no news for PADT right now that we can share. Nothing exciting. We're just kind of getting ready for the new year and putting everybody in place. And you know, one thing that I haven't mentioned in quite a while is that we are hiring. And you can always go to PADT's career page if you just go to www.padtinc.com, and there's a button at the top that says careers or in the menu up there. You can see what we're looking for. But in the world of simulation, we still got some apps out there. We're looking for account managers for simulation software sales in Arizona, as well as we need more folks here, as well as in Northern California. So do check those two out if you're interested or know somebody that is. And then we're always looking for antenna application engineers, both in Tempe and in Littleton, Colorado. We've got customers we'd like to support with a few more people in those two locations. And then, you know, if those don't fit you, those are the four openings we have right now that are simulation related. We do have a job posting. It's just general application, and you just submit your resume if you're interested in working at PADT or if you know somebody that is. So again, salespeople and HFSS antenna specialists, we'd love to hear from you and get your resume out to us so that we can see if we are a good fit for you and you are a good fit for us and join the PADT family. And a fringe benefit is you might be able to be on this podcast. Not worth changing jobs for, but we'll see. What else do we have to talk about? Well, publications, Ansys blog. So there's, as usual, I picked three articles that I liked. The first post I recommend explains a bit about this HFSS mesh fusion that we just talked about. It's called From Chips to Ships, which is actually what you, right? You can model the whole aircraft carrier as well as the chip that's in the radar system, right? So, and you can solve them all with HFSS. So if you're intrigued by that capability, do check out that article. My next recommendation is called Qualip. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that right. Meets high temperature 3D printing challenges with simulation. So this company Qualip is making a 3D printer that uses fused filament fabrication. That's another name for fused deposition modeling, the technology that Stratasys invented and that is used in the Stratasys FDM printer line. Their machine, like those Stratasys systems, now has a heated chamber since the Stratasys patent has expired. So if you follow the 3D printing world with these extrusion machines, you take plastic and you melt it through a nozzle. One of the big advantages that Stratasys has had for quite some time is you could regulate the temperature in the chamber, and that's fantastic for kind of these more esoteric and higher temperature materials like PEEK or Ultem and things like that. So since that patent's expired, other companies are coming up with machines to compete directly with the Stratasys machines. This company, Qualip, is using Discovery Live in the design process to develop their printers for the high-temperature polymer. So you can imagine very quickly looking at how moving fans around, changing heaters around, how the shape of the part actually affects the airflow. You can do this all right in real time with Ansys Discovery. So it's pretty, if you're interested in 3D printing, it's interesting. And if you're interested in discovery and driving design in real time with simulation, great example. And finally, now that the acquisition of the company AGI is official, there's an article that explains really what AGI does and how it fits into the ANSYS world. It's called "The Acquisition of AGI Extends a Digital Thread Throughout the Mission." So AGI is a mission simulation product. It's was primarily used to model satellite missions, as well as rockets and aircraft and drones and cars now. It's really expanded its capability. So it kind of explains all that and where it fits into ANSYS's world and where the integration between the two is headed, which is very exciting. And needless to say, we are trying to get somebody here on the podcast now that it's all done, the acquisition, to talk about AGI as soon as we can arrange it. So look forward to that. If you work with any technology that involves modeling the mission as well as modeling components and assemblies, you're going to be interested in listening to that. Pretty cool stuff. Upcoming events, we're actually in the middle of figuring out our schedule for webinars and changing a little bit. We're going to still be on brighttalk.com, but we're going to be using a new capability, a new webinar capability there. So we're figuring that out as well. So I don't have anything on the schedule yet, but do look for that on www.padtinc.com/events. And we'll, of course, get you up to date in the next podcast as well. And you can always go to brighttalk.com and search for PADT, and you'll find what's on the schedule. But you know, we'll have some good stuff about new products as well as a look at 2021 R1. And then other PADT events, the only thing we got scheduled so far for February is the Arizona Tech Business Networking event, and that's the 11th version of that. So if you're in Arizona and involved in tech in any way, shape, or form, and want to talk with other folks who are, please show up. That's going to be on the 11th, I believe. Yeah, February 11th, 2021, from 5 to 6:30. And then don't forget to save the date for ANSYS Simulation World. That's going to be April 20th and 21st. It's going to be virtual, just like last year. And you know, tens of thousands of people showed up. It's a great event. And do set aside time to make sure that you can watch that live and be part of it. And that is the end of our podcast. And I want to thank everybody for joining us once again. Don't forget to subscribe to our newsletter at www.padtinc.com/opt-in. And subscribe to this podcast wherever you get your podcasts from. And we are supported on almost all platforms. Do spread the word, let other people know about it, and don't hesitate to reach out. Thank you for joining us for the All Things ANSYS podcast, episode 80. As a reminder, this podcast is not affiliated in any way with ANSYS Inc., and the opinions expressed are those of the people on the show only, and not of their current or former employers. For more information, visit www.padtinc.com/blog, and please share your thoughts and questions through an email to podcast@padtinc.com. See you next time.